Hello, everybody, and welcome to the World's Strongest Man podcast. We're back. Colin Bryce is back. Radzi's back.
Hello.
Nice to see you. Did you have a good Christmas?
It was a lovely Christmas.
Amazing, wasn't it? And a good New Year as well with that. What a finale in Manila, Colin.
Yeah, the Manila. The Manila in Manila.
Yeah.
Yes, it was magnificent.
It was great, wasn't
Brilliant.
It?
Yeah.
It was such a good finals. I mean, I think a lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like this year, and especially with Eddie. I mean, I was wondering how it was going to be presenting with Eddie.
How was it?
Well, it was. We've got an interview with him later on.
Okay.
He's a larger than life character, but I'm going to be absolutely frank and say that, you know, when you arrive on the kind of at the competition, there's all these big guys there, and you know, I'm not the biggest fella myself. So it can be a little bit intimidating, and they're such lovely people. I mean, they're such friendly people. Brian Shaw, sweet guy. Jeff Caron, lovely laid-back fellow. But Eddie was always somebody who slightly scared me. You know, I was always a little bit nervous around Eddie. So, but he turns out to be really, really nice. And the thing that actually is amazing about it is he totally gets it. He totally gets the whole broadcasting thing.
Mm. It's amazing how you know. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do a few bits and bobs in different sports, but some of the greatest sportsmen.
You're an Olympian, Colin.
Oh, get out of town! What are you doing? All right, that's only once, right? It's got to be seven at least. You meet someone who you assume is going to give you magnificent breakdown on stuff. Eddie has a different take than almost everybody on everything, and it always. I kind of feel embarrassed sometimes when I'm doing commentary because I think, geez, I'm giving the same old stock answer here. Actually, Eddie will often just flip things on its head. He just notices things no one else does, which I guess is why he won.
To that point, when I was commentating with BB, rather with Eddie, over BB's world record attempt for the axle press,
First
thing he said afterwards, his issue, shoulder mobility.
Okay.
He said he actually can't get his elbows underneath the bar, so he needs to do shoulder mobility. And I said, have you told him this? He said, no, I haven't. I said, well, you need to, because this is game-changing. And that, to your point, is his eye immediately identifying
Absolutely.
Issues.
Yeah. BB, who we were looking forward to seeing at the World's Strongest Man Finals in the Philippines, but wasn't able to be there because of a bout of malaria.
Yeah.
Right on the kind of eve of the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just grossly unlucky. He had suffered it about a couple of months before from memory. And stress can bring it back again. Of course, the stress of it's a right old long flight when you've got sort of 60-inch hips like Bibby does. It's a tough one. And for all of us, it was brutal. But and then the heat and the stress of his first Worlds, a lot of expectation on his young shoulders.
Conditions were testing, it's fair to say, in the Philippines.
Conditions were testing, and during testing, he just couldn't stop sweating. Something was not right, you could tell.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I mentioned Eddie Hall's going to be joining us later on. We'll also be hearing from Adam Bishop. And from Johan Els as well, who was one of the revelations, is that fair to say, of these finals?
Yeah, the Mad Dog.
The Mad Dog. The Elsation.
Oh!
and so much more as we look back on the finals, but also on that great Giants Live series, Colin, that you put together, you clever person.
Oh,
you.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, theworldstrongestman.com is the website, and there's a Facebook page of a very similar name. Our Twitter handle is @worldstrongest. On the gram, we are @theworldstrongestman. All right, let's kick off then with the heats in the Philippines. And it was hot, wasn't it, Colin?
Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it's more like the world's hottest places than world's strongest man.
Fair. All right. Anyway, so we arrived there in Manila, which is an interesting place. I've not been to the Philippines before, had you?
No, neither had I, no.
All right, but the crowds were certainly into it, weren't they? The locals got really behind this event.
Yeah, I mean, the traffic, everything. It was. I mean, it's quite a city, isn't it?
I remember being, we got stuck in traffic, and Colin, you just got out and walked.
I went mad, didn't
you
I?
You went mad. You were shedding your clothes as you went. As we were sat behind him in traffic, just watching him strip block by block across Manila.
It was, and then there was like, you're not going to do it. Because the guy said, oh, it's 3 point whatever miles that way. Mm. And I was like, well, yeah I am. Because I even heard some chuckles from the back of the bus. I'm, oh, fat boy,
he's never
going to do it.
Yeah.
And that was it. I just went off. I was just... And I had my hat, gave it away to a small child as I was running. Wow. My shirt, gave it to another.
Can you imagine being that child? Like, what am I meant to do with this?
I lost my mind. He probably just threw it to the floor.
Did you find the hotel okay?
Yes, I did. I had unbelievable blisters on my feet, though.
Yeah.
It was horrific.
Tough though that was, even more arduous challenges were to await in the actual competition, which got underway with Thor competing with some big names in Heat 1. Everyone's attention focused on the man, the mountain from Game of Thrones, and see how he would do. And he got off to a brilliant start. It was an interesting group. I mean, he took the first three events, but Paimon Mahapourhir. Do you remember the incredible, what was it called?
Insane. Yeah, arm over arm. What were those things? Jeepneys.
The jeepneys.
Yeah, like sort of blinged up jeeps, basically.
Yeah. And Paimon, with his kind of invocation.
He just a vice-like grip, and he, yeah, very fit man. And my goodness me, he was like a man possessed, wasn't he? And yeah, tough athletes there. Beljak, Kearney, obviously the North American champion. And Charlet, you know, he's a tough group for him.
Do you know what I would say? We've seen some very tall strongman competitors, some slightly shorter. Mm-hmm. Paimon is the hairiest I've ever seen.
That's true. He is hirsute. No, he really is. And you're quite hairy as well, Reggie. So I'm
follicularly challenged on the torso, though.
Oh, okay.
I make up for it on the scalp, but on the old chest, Paimon, I respect the man.
Yeah, he's got hair coming out of, you know.
I mean, he took his T-shirt off, and I was like, hey, take your sweater off too, dude.
But anyway, extraordinary performance in the arm over arm. Pulling two jeepneys, Colin, weighing 6.85 tonnes.
Look at the focus and the concentration and the speed of Mahapourhir.
Totally committed, isn't he? Goodness me, screaming away here. Massive big pull each time. He's going beyond the board. This is brilliant. Look at the speed. He's keeping momentum going.
And completely outshining Hafþór Bjørnson in this event. Still got 20 seconds to go. I wonder what else.
He's got big old mitts on him. That's a massive rope. And they're still working a vice-like grip after 45 seconds. Could Paimon be the man to finish?
Well, what else can he possibly do now?
He can wrap the rope around his yes, he is. That's all you can do.
That's it. Wow, what a performance.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen.
And he's delighted.
Yeah, that yelling by there, it was a religious kind of it was a religious chant he was doing that gave him strength, and it really did.
Yeah, can I just say, when I said he's about to wrap his rope around his, that was his wrist, because there's no pictures, obviously. I just wanted to make sure everybody's clear.
Okay.
I have to say, it's quite nice to see an Iranian, because they've dominated Olympic lifting. Mm. Yeah, so it's nice to see a transition actually into strongman.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are there more waiting to make the jump?
There are, actually, yeah. They've got one extremely good guy that may well come over very soon.
Really? Not for that big event you're organising at Wembley?
It may be, and I can't, to be honest, say his name, because it's really long.
What about his name?
It is a really, really long name. Right. Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Watch the space.
Also from Heat 1, I just want to say, it turns out that Vytautas Lalas' brother is really good, Marius Lalas.
Is outrageously good. He's, yeah. I mean, Vytautas is maybe statically, fractionally stronger, but Marius is just jet propelled, fastest man there probably.
Excellent. Anyway, so the man who went through to the final along with Thor was Beljak.
Absolutely. And for me, it was retribution from last year, the last man standing event in 2017, when it was him versus JF Caron in the stone off, essentially. To see him go through this time, I was very, very pleased.
Yeah. But I mean, also, I mean, you just think how many good Slovenian chefs are that are out there as strongmen. I mean, it's just a... I don't know where I'm getting this one from.
Is he a chef?
Yeah, he's a Slovenian chef.
I had no idea.
Yeah, most of them are professional strongmen. He has a family restaurant, and he's out the back with his, you know, chefing hat on.
Brilliant.
Well, it's bizarre. The man is 150 kilos. He looks 105 kilos, actually, on screen. It's... incredible, really.
It is. It's remarkable. Anyway, that was Heat 1, and Thor was the big story there. Brian Shaw, the massive favourite in Heat 2, four-time World's Strongest Man. But also in there, Adam Bishop, who Radzi, I know you... I mean, it was heartbreaking for him, seeing him just miss out like that on the final.
For me, though, I wasn't heartbroken, because I thought that guy, I remember seeing him in his very first ever strongman competition in Loughborough in a farm in Leicestershire.
No.
And he was against guys who were essentially dormant.
So how long have you known Adam Bishop?
I've known Bish since about 2009, so the best part of 10 years.
Okay.
And he has grown in every sense. But that particular competition, guys were having apple crumble as an intra-workout snack.
Mm-hmm.
This was far from professional.
What do you mean? I don't get it. That sounds good.
And he finished, I think, mid-table in that. And so to see him go from that at around the 100 kilo mark to what he is now,
yep,
to be right on the edge of qualifying for the final, I've just got so much respect for the guy.
Is he going to make the final next time?
He's got to.
Yeah.
He has got to, and he's got a plan.
Tell you what, let's just remind ourselves of how close he came this time, because the new rules this year, as you all saw, top person in the group goes automatically through to the finals. Second place, third in the Atlas Stones. It's a lift-off to take the other qualifying place in the finals. And it came down to Adam and Johan Els, and this is how it went.
Well, look at this. I mean, Els pulling ahead. Bishop remaining in control.
Is he, though? He just glanced over and realised how far Els is ahead. He knows how heavy the last stone is. Very few men have ever put this up.
Els struggling slightly now, a chance for Bishop maybe to catch up. But no, this is it. Look, Els has done it. And this means the world to Johan Els. A shame for Bishop, but he's getting better and better every year. But what a result for the South African.
Yeah, they both kind of end up in tears. I mean, Johan's a guy who really wears his heart on his sleeve, but we all saw how much that meant to Adam Bishop. We've caught up with him again now. He joins us now to look back on the extraordinary success he had in Manila. Adam, first of all, it was an incredibly successful performance from you this year, but getting so close to the final, we saw how much that meant to you on the show. How do you feel now looking back on it?
I'm still gutted, yeah. I kind of look back at it and, you know, I've had time to think about it a lot. Obviously, to lose in that way was very, very difficult for me. But at the end of the day, I was kind of competing with one arm. I had a tear in my bicep that's pretty serious now. So I've got a slightly deformed bicep these days because I couldn't re-stitch the muscle back to the tendon. But yeah, to be able to do what I did and get as far as and close as I did is great, but it's still not getting to that final, which is what I'm all about.
Bish, I think you're doing yourself a disservice there. To come from where you've come from, the progress you have made over the past sort of 5 years has been off the charts, and you were the flare of a nostril away from qualifying for the World's Strongest Man finals. That is absolutely incredible.
Can I just say this, though, Bish? You've now adopted the correct chat. I did it all with just one arm. I think you can win World's Strongest Man now. I just suddenly had a flash there. You've got the chat down pat.
Well, that's it, mate. You know, we had Eddie reminding us about his knuckles every 2 minutes a couple of years ago. Next year, he goes and bloody wins it. So, yeah, maybe that's the best thing to do. One arm and half a bicep, you know.
Bish, Eddie's crown is there to be taken for the Britain's Strongest Man January 19th. How good are you feeling about your chances? Because I've got to say, he's tipping you as potentially the man to take over.
This comp's going to be fantastic. I mean, it's so wide open, it's unbelievable. There's so many guys who've got chances to win it. I'm in a good position at the moment. There's no pressure on me at all. You know, I've already qualified for Worlds, so I'm good to go. So now I can kind of really push and take some chances and really go for the win. And I'm feeling really strong at the moment. So, you know, this lineup is unbelievable. We've got Terry Holland and Lauren Charlet, Mark Felix. They don't need any introduction. Both the Stoltman brothers are hungry to try and take some kind of title back to Scotland. And then Hixey, who has been like the bridesmaid so many times behind Eddie in various competitions. So it's going to be one hell of a show. And yeah, just making sure I'm going to be there up the top and in the fight for the win.
And for the Worlds in 2019, we've seen you make these big leaps in terms of your form, in terms of your potential. What are you most keying on to make that final 10?
Just no mistakes. You know, I'm not going to make any mistakes at all, especially in my build-up and once I'm out there. As I said, you know, it's close. The performance is there to get me there. I think I've proved that this year, especially at the back end of the year. So I've just got to get there and execute. I've got to go and execute my plan and make sure that, you know, I'm in that top 10 in that final, which is what we're all there for.
Yeah. So that's what seems to kind of separate you from a lot of the other guys, is the way you plan. How did you actually kind of approach 2018 with an eye to the World's Strongest Man?
I planned 2018 on the 1st of, or sorry, the 2nd of April 2017. That's when I planned out my full training plan after I tore my biceps. So that was a full, you know, year and a half in the making. I planned out exactly where I needed to be. I knew exactly what loads I needed to be lifting at certain points in the year. I knew when I needed to be backing off and lifting lighter. And I just made sure I was progressing. I think that's what a lot of guys kind of forget, is you don't need to be lifting heavy the whole time. You just need to be progressing and moving forward. And that's what I like to do. And it's just small little marginal gains. They all count up over, you know, 12-week cycles or over, you know, like half a year or in a full year. if you keep adding little bits of weight, then you end up in a position where you're going to be a very, very strong guy.
So are you going to be Britain's strongest man, Bish? Let's lay it down. Let us hear it.
Oof.
I'm going to be Britain's strongest man.
Nice one.
2019?
2019, let's go for it. You know, the events are good. I'm feeling strong. So it all hinges on a couple of events and what some other guys can do. But at the end of the day, I can't control what Hicksy can do on stuff. I can only do what I can do. So that's all I focused on.
I've got your walk-on song queued up, you know.
What is it this year? Is it YMCA?
Hey, for Bish, I always put out some other disco classic. It was YMCA, and then I've had, I think it was Relax, Frank, Don't Do
That
It.
That was right.
I surprised Bish. Everyone else gets like Conan the Barbarian and that kind of stuff.
Colin is beside himself with
Electric Six, your gay bar, probably. Is that what you're going to be next?
Yeah. Why not? Sheffield, January 19th, Fly DSA Arena.
Adam, I just want to ask you, if I can, just before you jump on your coach, one more time about the stone off with Els. And basically, the question is this: one of the standout, one of the most striking images of the finals, Adam, was your face really after missing out by the lift of a stone to Johan Els on a place in the final. What was that moment like for you?
It's kind of tough to explain, you know, because it's you go into that comp. Obviously, I was in second place in the group going into the finals in a strong position, and then I just came up against the best stone lifter at the tournament that year. You know, Els was unbelievable. He attacked the stones, and fair play to him, you know. And it's kind of I was very frustrated that I wasn't in that final. And I was very, very disappointed. It's a really tough one to take, especially when you've trained for 18 months, effectively, to be there, and you kind of miss out in that fashion. Because we're all there to be, you know, everyone says, oh, he did great, whatever, but we're all there to be in that final and be in that top 10 and be pushing for the top spot. That's why we're all there. So it was really kind of a bitter thing to take.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, he was the strongest at the Stones last year. He won the Stones in the final as well. So when you saw him coming up against you in that lift-off, did you think, uh-oh?
I knew he was going to go crazy. You know, he's got been coined the phrase Mad Dog now. That's his nickname. some guy gave him that. I don't know who, pricey.
He just isn't. But no one knew how good he was at that point, let's be fair. The man's only done a handful of contests, but there's something not right about him. He's loopy.
I knew he was going to go out fast on the stones, and I knew that I might not be able to match him for speed, so I just kind of had to gamble on making sure I got all the stones up, especially with my torn bicep. And I was kind of relying on him flipping on a stone, really. Happen, especially when you're going with those one motions and trying to run it in like he did.
But also the platforms that the stones were going on this year, they were quite precarious. So I think if there was ever going to be a time to be a little bit hesitant, it was actually that year. So I think you got your strategy right.
It was damp as well. I mean, it had rained. There was quite a rain gap, which I entertained the crowd with. No one knew how good Els was. I did not expect him to do the fifth stone. I think your tactics were right, because you had the fifth one in you, I think.
Yeah, I definitely did. And obviously, pop that fifth one up after it would be a different story, obviously, on the old format. But with the straight shootout, just not to be.
Brilliant. Adam, that was excellent. Thank you so much for that. We're going to see you on the 19th.
Yes,
and then,
yes,
as you say, wherever the finals is, you'll be there.
I'll be there, mate. Yeah, I'll be there.
Many thanks for taking time out to talk to us today.
Thanks,
Bish. No worries, guys. Any time.
Lovely to hear from Adam Bisham. We're expecting great things from him in 2019. You can say the same thing about the man who pipped him to that place in the finals in the Philippines, Johan Els. And guess what? He's on the line now from South Africa. Thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us. First of all, congratulations on your performance in the Philippines. How does it feel to be one of the six strongest men in the world?
Very humbling, sir. Honestly, it was quite unexpected, but I did work hard. So, honestly, the feeling, it's not in my vocabulary to describe it. Very humbling and very honoured, to say the least, yes.
I remember that you almost didn't make the trip to the finals this time around.
Yes,
why was that?
There was a lot of riots going on. Actually, still, things are very unstable currently down here in the south. So the morning I had to leave for the airport, there was actually, the roads was barricaded and stuff. So, you know, and you got to fly to represent your country, and you got to leave your wife and kids in virtual danger. So, yeah, it was quite a test of faith to get on the plane. My wife and my daughter, you know, convinced me, you know, there you go, God will protect us. And on that, I decided, okay, I'll go, because Yeah, I almost didn't go.
Wow.
Really, it was on 99, and I decided, okay, I'll get on the plane, I'll go, I'll leave.
You have, when you came back to them, what did you say?
I brought some good news home. It's always nice to bring good news home, isn't it?
Yeah. It was an amazing...
Yeah, I actually brought some good news back to the whole of South Africa, because it's been years since the last man I think that made the finals was Gerrit Badenhorst.
Mm.
And that was, I think, close to 18, 19 years ago.
Yeah, no, 18 years ago. Was Gerrit the guy who inspired you to get into strongman?
Yes, sir. I witnessed him one day when he was just on a show doing like a little bit of strongman demonstrations and stuff, and he just challenged anyone in the audience to come and try this stuff. I was still a young lad back then. I think he was about 20 years old, and I practically picked up all the stuff he had there. And that's when he told me, listen, your son, you got some real good potential, and you should really consider doing strongman.
Wow.
And
we didn't see you for 16 years. What happened?
Struggling, sir.
You were 20 years old. You were 30. Was it 36 in Botswana? How old were you when you first came to us?
First time in Botswana, I was 36 years old, yes, sir.
So, yeah, 38 now.
36 years old. That's when I started.
Johan, looking at you in the Philippines, it seems almost like even now we're only just getting to understand what potential you've got. Certainly what you did with the stones this time around, and poor old Adam Bishop learnt this when you had that playoff with him. I mean, you just keep getting better and better.
I'm in such a good shape now. I'm about 2 kilos heavier now. And strength-wise, the deadlift has really come up a lot. My pressing... I'm really in the best shape of my life now, as I'm speaking with you. And yeah, I don't know what happened with the stone there, because that's the first time I picked up a 200 kilo stone. So I don't even have a 200 kilo to practice at home with. And then in the finals, I think it was a 220 we finished with.
And you won.
I did that as well.
And you won.
So I really surprised myself. Yeah, apparently I won the stones.
Johan, the thing I've always loved about strongman are the stories and the moments. And that moment when you realise you've qualified for the final, I think is one of the moments of World's Strongest Man 2018. Can we just get a flavour of what that actually meant to you when you realised you'd actually qualified for the biggest final in strongman?
Being a South African as well, I am. Yeah, look, the dumbbell went absolutely horrible. I injured my left shoulder, and I went to the medics, and I was sitting there sobbing and crying, and thinking this was it for me. You know, I'm going home, and they bandaged me up, and I went into the stones, not knowing if I'm going to do this or what's going to happen. And you know, after running through the stones, like I saw a video afterwards, because I can really just remember running through the first stone, and I could remember putting up the last stone. It was a blank spot in between. Afterwards, I saw a video, and I actually saw what I did, you know, like one motion in three of the stones. And, sorry, just a bit emotional now.
Wow.
But it was big for me. It was really big for me. And I hope South Africa is proud of me. Yeah.
What's lovely about you, Johan, is you wear your heart on your sleeve. And I think as Brits, we massively relate to that. And just seeing the honesty and the emotion pour out of you. What's your aim with strongman? Do you have a specific goal that you're shooting for?
Not really. I always make a joke, and I say, teach me sane in an insane world, something like that. But I don't really have a goal. I'm just doing it because I love it and I'm good with it. And having a rough childhood, and I'm just maybe proving to myself that I am worth something.
There's absolutely no doubt about that, and you're not just good at it, you're exceptional at it, and it's an absolute honour to get to watch you do what you do.
Yeah, we love you, and actually, it's rarely do you see someone have the X factor in such an incredibly important scenario who can then step up, you know, their game, but you went like 50% higher than anyone. The first time I watched you was running with those barrels, and I was watching you with Magnus Fair and Darren in the very first event in Botswana, and Magnus at the end of it turned to me and went, jeez. He just went mad. And then Darren turned to me and went, jeez. if there's one guy here I'd never want to fight, it's that guy. He's crazy. And that was it. Mad Dog was born, mate. You're not just wear your heart on your sleeve, you've just got a ridiculously big heart.
Right.
And you just go for it. Well done, mate. It's brilliant.
So, Colin, you've dubbed Johan Mad Dog. Oh, I like the Elsation as a nickname.
The Elsation.
But I don't know. Johan, what's your favourite nickname?
I'll stick to the Collins one.
Oh. All right. Well, sixth place in the world is just the beginning. Yes, sir, Johan.
Yeah.
Definitely, sir. I'm turning 40 next year, so I'm also looking forward to doing like a master's comp. I think it's over 40. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
I'd like to do maybe bring a nice title back home, first place.
You can be the first man to do the over 40 and the Open. How about that? Why not? You've got plenty of the tank left.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really just taking it one step at a time. I am struggling this side. It's tough here in South Africa. The sport is really, no offense, but it's really underdeveloped here. Sometimes I really got to explain to people what I do. They don't even know what strongman is.
Well, that's why it's so important that you're from South Africa. My dad was from Zimbabwe, the country just above yours. And so there'll be so many countries that will unite behind you and say that you're not just representing South Africa, you're representing perhaps the south of the whole of Africa and maybe indeed Africa as a continent. But I do have to ask, at what point does Johan become Mad Dog? So when Colin says, ready, are we already Mad Dog yet? Or is it when the whistle goes?
It's Maggie who does that now, but yeah.
I don't know, but there's some tone in Colin's voice that just switches me on. Right?
Colin turns on.
In many ways. We'll leave that to the listeners. Well, thanks, Mad Dog.
Johan, that's...
For those few moments that I lived, I truly live. And maybe I just lose myself a little bit in the moment, but it really, I just thrive on that adrenaline.
Yeah.
For those few moments that I lift or pull that stuff, it's really, that's the most alive I can honestly say I ever feel. So that really does it for me. That's my high, that's my drug.
Well, here's to many more moments like that, Johan. A brilliant 2018. It was such a joy to watch you and really looking forward to seeing what you come up with next year.
Thank you.
As Colin would say. Listen, have a terrific 2019 until we see you. And many thanks again, Johan.
Many thanks to you guys. God bless you and God bless Africa.
Indeed.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Els and Gigantor then make it through from Heat 2. Colin, you're sniggering a little bit there at Brian's branding.
Who came up
with Gigantor?
I have no idea. I call the Big Show, the Big Shaw, everything. Colorado Colossus.
But nicknames—they are the future, aren't they? World's Strongest Man. Eddie's responsible for a lot of this with his beast.
Yeah, but I don't know. Some people like Brian. He's Brian. He's just a sort of gentleman.
Brian
Gigantor. But yeah.
And Z is Z, and of course he was coming up in Heat 3, which turned. I mean, this for me was one of my favourite heats.
How did they get his nickname anyway?
I'm not sure.
He's big.
Nice.
But this was extraordinary. We have Graham Hicks, Dennis Corus, Robert Oberst, Z, and Luke Stoltman. And this was so tight, so much so that we ended up with four athletes tied together with one man behind. And bizarrely, it was Z who was the fellow who was trailing.
Yeah, that was after the squat. Was that the point? He was behind. I mean, that was meant to be his event. I mean, Z was the IPF, overall silver medalist and world champion in squat. That was before he turned to strongman at 21. I mean, he's a legendary squatter, but it was speed that called him out there. And you know, as one of the organizers, actually, I got to hold my hand up and say we probably should have made it heavier. Rarely do you say that. Rarely do you say that. But actually, in the deadlift, it was the same weight, and they were all stopping at 5, 6, 7 barrels. But then, geez, they all just blitzed 7. You know, we need another gun. We need another barrel.
It did make for some spectacular TV, though. As it turned out, though, Z did his usual great job of coming from behind and took the automatic spot in the final, leaving Robert Oberst to battle with Luke Stoltman, who just squeaked into the playoff positions on the log lift.
Yeah, it really was anyone's game. And Z, you just can't write the guy off. at any age, he can bring Z of old to the table, and he just manages to do it at the right time. Mm. And I think he also once spoke to Mark Felix about saying, how have you managed to stay so injury-free for so long? And he said, you've got to know when to push. And sometimes in certain competitions, you've got to just accept that this isn't going to be my day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that Z knows when to do it, and he happened to do it at exactly the right time.
I totally agree, Radzi. You know, going into the log, and it was quite nice that the penultimate event was the log. Z's not bad at it, by the way. That did help, confidence-wise, I think.
Absolutely. And as it turned out, Luke Stockman wasn't bad at it either. Squeezing in that essential rep, which moved him into third place, and thus able to have the playoff with Robert Oberst. And this was really tense. So, you know, with the new rules, two men going head-to-head in an Atlas Stones face-off.
Robert Oberst is one of the best stone lifters in the world, and he's on the left-hand side. Little slip there, though. Stoltman's in the lead.
Look at this. There was a slight slip as well, it seemed, from Stoltman. But Stoltman is markedly in the lead.
Can't take his time too much in the middle. He's got to just keep moving these stones up. Oberst has caught him.
Well, barring a disaster from Oberst, it looks like he's got it. But Stoltman, well, he's nipping at his heels. Oberst struggling slightly.
It's a huge stone.
Well, he's done it. Oberst is through to the World's Strongest Man Grand Final. That's a disaster for Stoltman.
Oberst goes through alongside Z, and it's third place for Luke Stoltman.
Again, you know, it's happened to him a few times now. Luke's, you know, he's been so close before.
But he's so young, isn't he? What age is he?
Like 32, not that young.
Luke Stoltman?
Yeah.
It's his younger brother, and it's easy to get them confused. I often do, because for me, I think that the albatross is the one who could really take over from Luke. He's been snapping at his heels for a while, but Luke just currently is the guy that's the dominant Stoltman.
Is 32 old anymore, though? I don't know.
No, well, okay, what's your peak age as a strongman?
I would have said your true peak power athleticism should be about 21. Your strength, your true peak strength, if you were to be trained from a child, I would say would come sometime in your early 20s. But assuming you go to strongman a bit late and learn, I would say really it should still be 26 or 27.
Really?
But that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, if you look at people who win. Sorry, right?
Well, what if you add to that component the idea that he's training part-time?
I think everybody has a window of opportunity, but you are really burning the fuse when you do strongman. It is so brutal on your body, and I think that's why Felix started at 37 or something.
Right.
Well, before that, he was a cocktail barman. He was just doing
a cocktail
bit.
Barman.
He was a cocktail barman.
The biggest barman in all of Grenada.
He travelled the world, you know, and then he did a bit of plastering, and then he decided to try a bit of strongman. He just had a bit of some bedroom weights. That's all.
Do any other of the strongmen work in the hospitality sector? Because you got
we got chef, obviously, Mr. Belshat.
And barman, Mark Felix.
Yeah, absolutely. Terry Hollins works as a maid in a hotel.
That's
a lie, but it's
move on.
All right, then, listen, just get out of your room here.
Okay. So anyway, that was Heat 3, and it was a really, really dramatic finish. What happened in Heat 4? Well, you had Martins Lissis, who was one of the pre-competition favourites. He was up against
JF Caron.
There you go. Who injures himself on that circle of strength. I've got to say, Colin, when was the last time you did a circle of strength?
The last time I did it was 1998. I tested it before the final.
Right. Sam did it. It looks like one of the most painful things you can do.
It is and it isn't. If you're quite slim in the tummy and big of hip and you can hook your elbows in, actually it's great. It's a great event. But it's so blooming heavy nowadays. We just went too heavy on that one that it, there was some pain and injury. The iron serpent was out biting people, as Kaz would say.
The fellow Giants Live co-founder, Darren Sadler, is very good.
He's never been beaten, actually. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that in his hips, do you think, or what? The thing about it, the bar, which is carrying all the weight, I mean, it's pushing basically on your chest. So
it's actually slightly below that.
So it
can crush your diaphragm, you know, if you're not careful. So you have to sort of, if you're quite slim in the stomach, and can just go that one sort of set of abdominal muscles below, and then you can lock it in with your arms. And then if you can get your hips just slightly under it, it can take the weight. But a lot of the really big barrel-chested guys or big tummies, They struggle to hold it.
Right. It becomes more bicep
and
dominant.
And it sits out in front of you further?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, people collapse so much after this, particularly in the kind of heat that they're normally doing.
But JF tore a muscle off there
in
his groin. I mean, that was nasty. Mm. He's a hard man. He's a really hard man, JF.
Who didn't struggle and who could probably give Darren Sadler a run for his money was Martins Lissis, who was kind of skipping round, smiling and waving at the camera as he went.
Ultimate athlete, just extraordinary guy. I mean, he was struggling, of course, but he's I love it. Showboat. It's this strongman. Half of it's circus, half of it's the actual event.
And to your point, after the plane pull in the final last year, he said that he basically went running up to the crowd afterwards, didn't want to show any fatigue, and then essentially pretty much passed out in his hotel room. So that guy's mask is exceptional.
That was Pudzianowski's trick. So much of what you saw was this dominator. And that, a couple of times I caught him puking out the back of the tent, the World's Strongest Man.
Really?
Because he would try and even breathe through his nose after a truck pull. He'd walk off trying to keep cool, and then out the back. He was absolutely flat out, exhausted.
Mark Felix, who beat everyone in this event, he really does seem to be able to stay cool.
Yeah, he just is cool.
I just don't know how he does it. Mm. I just have no idea, because I understand his grip strength is exceptional, but to do it in that event of all the war of attrition, fair play to the guy.
For all of that, though, maybe the standout performance in this heat was JF Caron, who tore that hip flexor on the circle of strength, but in the next event, when a lot of us thought he might actually withdraw from the competition, puts in an unbelievable performance in the deadlift.
We're underway. Number one, pretty easy. It's going to get heavier and heavier by about 20 to 25 kilos as each one of these barrels drops in.
Well, no sign of that injury as yet.
Well, we'll really start to see it as it gets heavier, when his core starts to shake. And the hip flexor at the front of the quad. It'll be really difficult to drive his hips through.
Well, he takes the lead so far with six. Can he manage seven? He's got 20 seconds. Some encouragement from the crowd. I watched him earlier. I know what a challenge this is. Has he done it? He has!
Oh!
Wow.
What must that have cost him, Colin, to win the deadlift after such a big injury?
Good question. I spoke to the doctor away from JF in between events, and he said it was entirely JF's decision. You know, basically, he has really no right to carry on, but he's not going to die because of it. But in other words, there must be extreme pain here, and it's only going to get worse. But he never even showed a flinch of pain, JF. He's such a tough guy. Really is.
It was bad news for Mark Felix, though, because JF then comes through to take on Felix in the playoff for the other qualifying spot, to go through alongside Martins Lissis. Mark really being caught out by that disappointing performance in the dumbbells.
I'm afraid Mark's always been quite weak in overhead, and dumbbell was probably his best shot, but the fatigue factor, the slippery sweat factor, I mean, just a million things. He got so close to locking out a few times, but, you know, no cigar.
Indeed not. So, on to the final heat, the one they were calling Rads, the group of death.
Yes, although I think we are all the group of death. Mm. And for me as well, being a Brit, I think we like the plucky underdog. And so with that in mind, Shivlakov, he wins heats, but it just didn't happen for him.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? And he was such a charming fellow about it. Really unlucky not to get through. Took a couple of events along the way. Kiliskoski, though, blasting straight through to the final 10. Now, he is young. How old is he?
It's either 23 or 24 there, yeah.
I mean, he's way off the...
He's like a gazelle. He's like a supercharged gazelle. And when he learns to deadlift, and that's something he's getting fixed more than learning.
Right.
He will have no weaknesses.
He looks like a discus athlete, you know. He doesn't look...
That's exactly what I thought. When I first saw him, I thought, as you said, javelin. He's got a bit thicker. Now he's more like a discus guy.
Yeah.
The most amazing thing is he can press overhead as well. You know, it's not exactly stacked in the shoulders and arms.
But he almost, it's not a jerk movement, but he's so narrow with his grip when he presses overhead.
It's an explosive leg movement for sure.
Exactly.
For sure, yeah.
And he manages to lock his arms, and the bottle on the guy to be able to do that at his body weight, in terms of strength to pound ratio, he's got to be right up there.
Yeah. I mean, I've said that about Lissis for a while. He's pound for pound the strongest man in the world. But, it's quite a thought, isn't it, actually?
Well, the area where he's ahead of everybody already, Kiliskoski, is his speed. And we've seen the kind of velocity he can pick up on, say, bus pull or plane pull. But it really stood out here on the load and carry, which was, what, three runs over a 15-metre course with a 300-kilo load.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he does the whole thing in under 30 seconds.
It was the way he picked them up off the floor. I'll never forget it. As he was turning around in the sort of shuttle run, he would slap both paws on either end, pull off the ground in one, and then just catch it. Right. It was amazing.
Let's have a listen.
Wow, Giliszkowski in the centre there. Was whipped off the floor like it's nothing. 150 kilograms, 330 pounds. Well, it's almost the same weight as Terry these days.
Well, Terry slow and steady. That height really helping him, but look at Giliszkowski.
Quicker on the second, unbelievable. Now, how's his grip?
Wow, well, Giliszkowski always gets nervous before these events, but why, I don't know. Look at that.
He's destroyed the time to beat. Goodness me.
Mattis, what can I say? You absolutely flew through that and you got the fastest time of all the heats.
Yeah, it is a surprise for me. This bag was very heavy. 150 kilogram. I training at home in 120. When I come here, I get info about 150. I was very afraid.
But I tell you what, you still got a smile on your face, Mattis. Well done.
Thank you.
Michelle Ackerley there with Mateusz Giliszkowski, who runs a pizzeria, of course, in his spare time.
He does, yeah. No, he doesn't.
I wasn't sure if it was you after a stair climb, Colin.
Oh, what a cheek. What a cheek.
Well, Terry Hollands, who we heard there, getting beaten by Giliszkowski, as anybody would face with that kind of pace.
Yes.
Once again, it was a competition that didn't bring Terry the results that he'd hoped.
I personally, in that, just purely on that event, I didn't think he went hard enough, actually, Terry. You know, I think he thought to pace it was the right idea. But now his strength has got to be his fitness and lean body, so he's got to play to his strengths. Talking of fitness, can I just chuck in something here? Shevliakov, and we've got to go back to him again, 1 second, because that over the bar that he did he not fail the last one, the last kettlebell? And when you fail the last kettlebell, it's so much heavier than all the others.
Mm.
And you have so much lactic acid, and you've run out of your, you know, your ATP, ADP, you know, that explosive system dies so quickly. He then picks it up, walks over, three or four breaths, and gets the seventh one over to become, whatever, the second or third man in history to actually do it, the second man to do it. I've just had someone through a window sticking up two fingers at me. But I think it means number two and not just rude. So yeah, second man in history. That's awesome. I mean, when you consider you already failed it, most people would walk away. That's fitness.
Well, we mentioned J.F. Cron
starting.
No, not really. But
it's not just J.F. Cron that's as hard as nails. I think Shiv is as well. And to do that, as well as fitness, that fortitude to dig deep like that and still pull that kind of performance out.
Former Russian Marine, of course.
Exactly.
But, you know, you expect Russian Marines to be ever so slightly miserable. He's probably the happiest man I've
Maybe
ever
because he's
met.
No longer a Russian Marine. He's just, you know, everything's good to
but
me.
I
don't know. That might be the reason.
Just
anyway.
Mean and tough. You know, but he's not the coolest dude ever, man.
He's a charmer. That is without question. Konstantin Janashia and Mateusz Kuliskowski taking their place in the finals then, the grand finals. And we'll talk about what happened in those in a second or two. Just a reminder that you can get in touch with us. You can find out all the latest strongman news heading into 2019 at theworldstrongestman.com or on our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at worldstrongest or on Instagram at theworldstrongestman. And among the many other things you can find there is information about how to get tickets for Giants Live, the qualifying tour for World's Strongest Man. I call it a qualifying tour. It's an attraction in its own right, Colin, and particularly this year.
It's the arena tour, the qualifying tour. Each one's a standalone title. We've got Britain's Strongest Man coming up in January 19th, Fly DSA Arena. And more information on that on giants-live.com. And that's Britain's Strongest Man, Terry versus Lars versus, you know, and then Europe's Strongest Man in April. And of course, Hapthor is the reigning champion there. But who's going to win it this year? We shall see. It's always a classic with the log kicking us off there. We're going to have Iron Bibby in from Africa again, going for world record stuff. And Wembley in July is what's lined up.
For anyone who missed the announcement that you made in our preview show, July the 6th, Wembley Arena Giants Live is going to be not just a huge tournament in its own right, but it's also going to feature a new attempt at the world deadlift record.
Yeah. 500 kilos. The half ton. Can 501 be done? 501 hashtag. Or Radzi, you're down with the kids. What do we do?
So if you're on social media, whether it's Instagram or Twitter, just include the hashtag and follow it with 501KG.
KG.
Thanks, Radzi.
And then that way we're going to see it, keep the dialogue going, and we can actually find out, perhaps uncover a future half-ton deadlifter.
I mean, it's a Guinness World Record now, so it's the one platform they will recognise. So anyone out there, come and take your chance. Get in touch, no matter what sport you are. This is it. We're going to find the greatest deadlifter in the world.
The man who currently holds that record, the only man in history to have successfully deadlifted half a ton, is Eddie Hall. And you know what? We'll be hearing from him very, very shortly. Very shortly. But first off, let's talk about the grand final. Hapthor Bjornsson succeeding Eddie Hall as the reigning world's strongest man after an epic grand final with all the usual ingredients, drama, controversy, sweat, all those kind of things. What was your favourite bit, Rad?
It was actually, there's one particular point, he's doing the axle press and he's about to press it overhead, and before he gets his elbows in position, the bar rolls back down his stomach and he managed to regather himself, get his elbows back under, pull the bar up, especially when you consider one of his weaknesses is his grip. To do that, I thought, showed real, pure, unadulterated strength. And I thought that was also a turning point in the Thor trajectory. Had he failed there, could he have fallen apart again? Mm. Well, he didn't.
It began with the frame carry. And yeah, guess what? Kieliskowski blows past everybody. But what was curious, or maybe notable, was Brian Shaw celebrating as if he'd won when he saw the fact that Thor was struggling and taking fourth place. So you could see where his concerns were about who the big threats were. And then in the jeepney deadlift came the moment where there was the argument over the Brian Shaw's 12th rep. Mm. Remember, Thor had already gone and managed 12 reps on the jeepney deadlift. Brian now going, looking to equal that to take a share of the win in this event.
Two reps to tie, three to beat. Oh, there's 11. I don't think he's going to beat him. Maybe he'll tie, though.
Kieliskowski's had enough. He's not happy. But come on, what do you got, Brian?
Time's ticking. 5-4-3. Oh!
Well, he gets it at the very, very last hundredth of a second, it seemed. We will check all that. But an amazing performance there from Brian Shaw.
So Danny seems happy enough with the rep, and the judges have called it as a fair rep. But Hapthor Bjornsson, Colin, was not happy at all.
Yes, and this is a story not many know, but you saw a little bit of Hapthor getting stressed by Brian's failed rep. And as tournament director, it was my duty to speak to the referees and pass on their final decision. And Hapthor did get very stressed again this year. And I think you could have had the great iceberg from Iceland melting down again, as it happened previously. And there was a few words spoken, not necessarily happy. But then there was a moment of a ray of sunshine came out, and Hapthor came over to me, and before the next event, he went, you know what? This is, I'm putting this behind me. This is sport. I'm sorry that I just was really quite rude to you. And I absolutely forgive you for it, Hapthor, because I'm so pleased that he was a bit rude about it, because Brian Shaw had done a rep that he thought was a half rep that run out of time. And in the end, the referees were happy.
Well, okay, they might have been happy. Hapthor, by this point, was in his tent with his people, and it seemed like, as you say, history was going to repeat itself. There were a lot of concerns about whether he was going to get too upset, he was going to be distracted by this controversy. And when the next event comes round, the max overhead, everyone's looking to see, is it all going to go wrong again for Thor? But instead, he lifts 205 kilos over his head with a brilliant performance, the one that really made you just gobsmacked, you were saying.
It really did. It was I think that was the real point, that his trajectory on the 2018 World's Strongest Man changed, and possibly on his career up until this point, because as he's essentially rolling the axle bar over his stomach and then getting it onto his chest, the bar seems to slip. And having spoken to a few strongmen, they talk about the issue often not being the press itself, but actually getting it to that point. Mm-hmm. But he manages to regather himself, get his elbows underneath, with nothing other than adulterated, brute, natural strength. And to see that, I actually thought, do you know what? The right man won on the day. The strongest man won on the day.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing is the previous year, second event in the final, and that or third event, and he got so stressed. I mean, Hapthor could just as easily as gone on and beaten Eddie if he'd have kept his cool. Who knows? Who knows? Who will ever know? Because the mental pressure, Hapthor had beaten himself that day, and actually after his anger and his outpour, he came over to me before that overhead, and he just said, "Listen, I'm sorry. This is sport. I must basically compartmentalize it. I'm apologizing to all of you referees." And that was the moment I knew. I even said it to him. My goodness, Hapthor, you have grown in mentally and in every way. So this is your year. I'm certain of it now.
All right. And he went out and he did this.
Back to Thor then, working up the crowd. And this is for the win.
Yeah, he's last man standing. Oh, that's bad news right there. Energy will be seeping out of him.
What have you got, Thor? Do you have enough? Yes, he does. Absolutely stunning there from Hafþór Bjørnson. Oh, he'll be enjoying this. The winner of the Max Overhead. And he deserves it.
Absolutely. And that didn't absolutely seal the competition for him. There were still things to be settled, but it really seemed to pave the way for him to finally take the title. We had the bus pull after this, 28 tons of it, and Kieliszkowski proving another time, as if it was necessary, that he's the new master at pulling large vehicles down short sections of tarmac, which is a useful skill. The big shock, actually, perhaps, was Matej Belshak, who, once again...
Yeah, the guy just digs so deep. I mean, for Belshak to be sure when he's giving away the best part of 50 kilos... Yep. I just don't know how he does it. And again, a guy who looks so comparatively ordinary to pull these extraordinary performances from nowhere. I couldn't even say what is his strength. What does he do? What is it about him that makes him so good at particular things? But he just does it.
And he ended up beating Short in the truck pull by 1/100th of a second.
That... I'm going to give Shaw his one excuse that he never actually came out with there and then, and he could have done. Yeah, I mean, he tore a ligament right in the centre of his foot, the main ligament that's in the bottom of your foot, about 3 or 4 weeks before. It's all on video. I actually watched the video afterwards when he told me, and you can see it. He's pulling a fire truck or something, and he just collapses to the ground in Colorado. And I'm funny, if I've had a little bit of the same injury, it's not nice. It's horrible, actually. And putting pressure on your foot is very difficult. So he's a tough guy, sure.
It's really bad for the soul.
Oh, get out. Get out of here.
So that meant that Thor's chief rival for the title was Kieliszkowski. And we go into, on the final day, at the University of the Philippines in Manila... Really sultry day. And then the sun comes out and we got this loading race, this medley of bizarre objects. You've got an anchor, you've got a safe. You have the last object is a safe which has been sat there in the Philippine sun and it's blistering. I mean, it hurts to even touch.
We had to put ice on everything in between.
Did you?
Yeah, because it was all painted black and it got so hot so quick we had to ice everything.
I mean, even trying to do a link was difficult because the sweat is rolling off you. I was kind of hugging a fan for most of this.
And he had Ed next to you. Outsweating you.
Outsweating you. Luckily, he was taking the heat in a very real sense. And normally you stop a link if there's sweat visible. But with it, we just had to roll because it was coming off his nose. And just, it was extraordinary. Anyway, when the event actually got underway, one of the most exciting battles that we've seen in recent years, Thor against Kieliszkowski.
Well, this for me is almost the final big hurdle. He's such a good stone lifter, Bjørnson. A good performance here. And he'll have one hand and four fingers on the trophy.
Well, Kieliszkowski's just got that speed, hasn't he?
He does. He's like a gazelle. I've said that before. He's the fastest in the world at loading. I mean, pretty much unbeaten in loading, but he's stride for stride here.
They really are. It's neck and neck. Up go the sets.
He's ahead.
Well, here we are. The safe. This is incredible. Wow. Both hands have to be off.
The coming of age. The Viking era looks like it's back again.
Well, what an incredible duel that was. 31.22 seconds, putting Bjornsson in first place in that event.
Incredible. I'm sweating just thinking about it.
Yeah, that for me, I think coming of age is the term. And to see Thor there, anything close to Kuliskovsky would have been impressive. Mm. To actually beat him, essentially at his own game. Mm-hmm. Again, confirmation, the right man won. I think once he lifted that safe, he really had.
The overhead he beat.
Go on, Radzi. Let's hear it. Once he lifted that safe,
he'd locked in the victory.
Right. It was a winning combination.
That's the one. That is the one.
Jeez. He cracked it. Now,
can I leave now, please?
And you know what? It's fitting that it was against Kuliskovsky, because I think one of the notions about him, of whether he was going to be the eternal bridesmaid in terms of World's Strongest Man, is he was in the shadows of Z and Shaw. Yes. And then as they begin to move on, is he going to manage to seize his window of opportunity before the likes of Janashia, Kuliskovsky and, say, Lissis come through and maybe steal a march on him? But this is where he answered that. This is where he then moved on to the Atlas Stones. And, of course, there was only one way this was going to go. Here we are with Thor attempting the fourth stone that would confirm him as World's Strongest Man.
Will Thor become the world's strongest man? It's all down to this stone.
He's taking his time. Does it go to Iceland again?
Well, he's done it. Hafþór Júlíus Bjornsson is the world's strongest man.
He certainly was. And shortly afterwards, we stuck a microphone in his face and he said this.
Hafþór Júlíus Bjornsson, you are world's strongest man. How long have you been thinking of this moment?
Oh. This started as a dream, standing here on top after 6 times placing podium. It's unbelievable. I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm so happy. All the hard work, dedication, you know, everything has paid off. I'm so happy. I had thoughts in my head, am I always gonna fail? You know, I pushed myself so hard, you know, I've cried so many times before I go to bed.
Your friends and family say that you've been almost crazy this year with your intensity, the way you've been working to try to get onto the top step.
Definitely, it's been very intense. My family and friends have inspired me a lot. Also last year inspired me as well. Placing second place last year, you know, gave me a fire inside myself and pushed me ahead. I was able to push myself even further. But also, I wanna, you know, this without my family and friends and fans, I couldn't do it without them. And my daughter, Tears Leaf, she is always here with me. This is for you, baby. I love you, Tears Leaf.
Emotional scenes. They were emotional scenes, weren't they, Colin?
Yes, indeed.
I think
yeah.
We were all getting a bit misty-eyed, weren't we?
Well, I mean, to be honest, no matter what, love him or hate him, he's tried so hard, Hafþór, for so long, and has, you know, been the heir apparent for so long, and you know, to for him not to have won, it would have been awful.
This was his seventh World's Strongest Man. He'd been on the podium every single time, but never on the top.
Yeah, I think in his very first World's Strongest Man, I think he may have been off the podium, but the man has just come in and just dominated the sport. And there was a real sense of it being a film for me. We had the full journey of him in just one tournament. Mm. We saw the guy arrive and be unhappy, and possibly, some might say, throw his toys out the pram. Then he apologised, redemption, and then he follows that up with the thing that he's been after all of his life.
Right.
And to see that with his family, it will really tell a story of a year. And I'll remember a few things in World's Strongest Man, but one is the emotion that Hafþór Bjornsson had winning his first.
I wonder what kind of sequel we'll get to that movie in 2019. He is, of course, the first Icelandic champion since a certain Magnus Vur Magnusson, who is the man who, of course, discovered Hafþór in a Reykjavik gym many, many, many years ago. Let's hear now from Magnus about his former prodigy and the impact of this win on Iceland. Hello, Magnus.
Hey, how are you? I'm fine, actually.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, first of all, we were just hearing Thor there talking about his emotion at winning and the weight that he felt of the expectation of the Icelandic population. What's the reaction been? What kind of reception did he get when he came back?
Well, I think it was pretty good. I think Icelandic people, they expect their strongmen to win. funny as it sounds, you know, they've already had 8 titles before that, so now they are 9 for a small country. They expect their guys to do good.
It was a different kind of storyline about him going into this tournament, though. He'd been the guy who never quite made it to the top step. And there was a moment in these finals when we all thought, I think, that might happen again. You were right at the heart of it because you, as the head of the judges, you were the guy adjudicating on the infamous Brian Shaw 12th rep.
Yeah.
Yep, you certainly were. in your mind, I mean, you were impartial, but were you concerned for Hapthor?
I've known him for a long time. He's dedicated. He trains really, really hard. And he's been desperate to get this title. He's had it so close. He's had it within, he's tasted it, but hadn't quite pulled it off yet. And, as far as I know, him coming into that contest, that's the strongest I've ever known him.
Mm. Must be special for you as well when you look back to the time that you saw him in the gym and, suggested it. He was playing basketball, wasn't he? He was a basketball player before you suggested that
he... He was a basketball player before he hurt his ankle. So he had to stop playing basketball. He was starting to do some weights in the gym and I ran across him. And believe it or not, he had long hair. He was looking like a hippie.
Excellent. Does it mean something different, Magnus, for an Icelandic man to win the title?
Well, it's been a long time, since that happened. That hasn't happened since I won my last one, which was...
96.
So it was about time, somebody brought the title back home.
Absolutely. Well, nice that it was Thor. Ratty.
Yeah, Maggie, after you won yours, you obviously went on to win more than one. What kind of confidence do you think that might give him actually winning the first one after such a long time of wait?
I'm sure it gave him a lot of confidence. But going and to win the title is one thing, but defending it is another thing. And a lot of the time, when you reach your goals, sometimes you lose focus. So we'll see if he can, keep the focus there and win it again.
I mean, Maggie, you've competed or been around strongman for, as long or longer than anyone. Certainly your knowledge is deeper than anyone I can think. Have you ever, with your 4 titles under your belt, and I know, I think you were, brains was one of your secret weapons. Tell me, do you think Hapthor is the most talented you've ever come across? If you were to line up every strong man in history with all of his tools?
He is one of them, yes, that I've run across. Actually, I thought, years ago I ran across this guy, Johnny Perry.
Yeah, Johnny.
From US, that I thought would do it. And he had just so much potential.
He lacked, the thing I'd say straight away is he lacked the height and fitness of someone like Hapthor. There's an all-round package right now. It's hard to challenge Hapthor on anything. You challenge a 7-foot guy on log, you expect his long arms to make him struggle. Jeez, he goes and does 213 kilograms at Europe's Strongest Man on the log. That's not right.
He's really worked on his weaknesses, overhead lifting. And when he was training in my gym and I was teaching him these things and sometimes I was lifting stuff overhead, and actually doing more than he could do, and that just him off.
Yeah. I mean, throw it back to Ted Van Den Parr. He's the only other man who's been taller than him as a World's Strongest Man winner. I mean, he probably couldn't, press his own weight above his head now or squat his own weight. He had real weaknesses with that height. You know what I mean? He was unbelievable at handling weights and deadlifting.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Hapthor is quite remarkable in many ways, isn't he?
Well, for such a big man, he is. He still carries that weight that he's gone up to. He carries it well. He still looks like an athlete. He's not just he's not one of those big fat guys. funny enough, I was watching him walk
just watched the movie, you know, the Avengers, mm-hmm. and it was just actually like watching the back of the Hulk walking.
And that's you saying it.
Maggie, you mentioned his weaknesses. You'd think for a big man, speed would not be a strength of his, but his performance in the loading event alongside Kiliszkowski, possibly the quickest strongman in the world, he wasn't just level with him, he actually beat the guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He. Well, coming from basketball, that was one of his things in the beginning, is he had such good endurance and he was quick, even for a big guy. He lost it a little bit for a while. He got a little bit too heavy. So I told him to... this is when I was still coaching him. I told him to take that beef hat off. And the rest is history, you know. From that, he started looking better. He started doing better. And he landed the role in Game of Thrones. Mm.
To make him the complete package, do you see any areas of weakness?
Right now, he doesn't seem to have any weaknesses. If anything, I can point my finger on... possibly his grip.
The other thing, Magnus, that people always held against Thor was his mentality, that it let him down just when the pressure was on. What was the difference, do you think, in 2018 in the Philippines?
Well, he looked like he was gonna get distracted there for a while. talking about that 12th rep.
Mm.
But he managed to pull himself together, you know, put it to the side, and just keep going.
But do you think this year he was more focused? Is there something that's changed? Have you seen a different approach from him?
Well, I haven't seen him so much for the last 1.5 years because he opened his own gym, so that's where he's been training. So I haven't really kept the tabs on it. But he has been pretty well focused. I've seen the videos. Yeah, but of course I've seen him in other comps and all that. So it doesn't seem to be too distracted with all his other activities.
Mm.
He was focused. He was going for that title. It was do or die.
Maggie, in the overhead press, there was a moment when, in his final lift, when it looks like he loses control of the bar and it slips down on his stomach, he manages to recover that and press it. Just how difficult was that to do?
Every time you're lifting something, or if you're cleaning something or whatever, it makes things way harder if you fail it a little bit, or even if you have to, you know, re-grip it or grab it again. It just makes things harder, and sometimes, you know, guys just amaze me how they can recoup and recover.
Well, you know, Maggie, I must say, actually, when I was watching from the side, and as a man who refereed World's Strongest Man for 14 years, I know the pressure you were under as he threw that weight overhead for the victory in the overhead. And then he stumbled. Mm-hmm. He stumbled forward. There wasn't the momentary pause, and you held him. A weaker referee would have given that rep, but then I had a sigh of relief when he then recovered it and pressed it up, because a lot of people were looking at you. When's he going to give the down signal? I know the feeling. It's
What he did when he was pressing most of his lift was that he took a step forward in the lift.
That's right.
So I was waiting for him to bring his feet together.
Of course, I remember. Yeah. But his arms were just pretty much locked. But it was a tight moment. if people would have understood if you'd have given it earlier or even expected it. There you are,
Magnus. Who's going to?
I believe, you know, in this sport you have to be strict. That means it's fair for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely, Magnus. Who's going to win in 2019?
Wow. That's a big question. I haven't really given it a thought.
Have you not?
No.
We'll play a musical interlude. One second, folks, while Maggie has a thing on this one.
I've been so busy, and I'm just in the process about to move my gym to another location.
Ah, the Nest of Giants.
Jackable.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm taking it out of the basement and up to a ground floor.
Okay.
No,
all right.
It's going to lose all of its glamour. What about the banging pipes?
no banging pipes anymore.
Wow.
Well, Magnus, sounds like a dodgy hotel.
Yeah. We'll let you off the we'll let you off the prediction then Magnus, and wish you the best of luck.
I can't say, you know.
Yes.
But look what I'm seeing now, what I've seen so far.
Mm.
You know, I think Thorne will be hard to beat.
Absolutely. Although Kiliskovsky,
sure.
It all depends if you have a weak event, if you do a mistake, who comes between you and your rival. You know, where do you lose points? The basic thing is the one who's going to win is the one that does not make any mistakes.
Absolutely, the one who's got a fellow countryman as the judge, like Eddie did with you, Colin.
Oh, get out of here. You see, this is the kind of nonsense you get, Magnus.
When you're in that referee seat, there is no favourites.
Absolutely.
When you're in the referee seat, that $100,000 of bribery money, it's barely worth it, isn't it?
Magnus, you're always our favourite. So look forward to seeing you again soon, and best of luck with everything in 2019 until we meet up again.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye bye.
Well, among the many getting teary eyed was Eddie Hall there in Manila, as he had to hand over the trophy that he'd given so much of his life to winning to the man who'd been his chief rival, Hapthor Bjornsson. But a magnificently sporting moment. And Eddie joins us now again to give us his thoughts on Hapthor's victory. And what awaits in 2019? Hey, Eddie, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, guys.
Eddie, what did you make of the grand final, first of all?
Yeah, the grand final, wow. You know, it was, well, for starters, you know, the location was fierce. The heat, the conditions, and the athletes that turned up this year were all bigger and stronger and more athletic. And, of course, you know, we all knew who won, and it's four. And, I've got to be honest and say, you know, he fully deserved the title this year. He was head and shoulders above the rest. You cannot deny that.
Everything looks set, Eddie, for him to pull another classic Bjornsson meltdown when there was that 12th rep controversy with Brian. But he did, I think, the opposite of what a lot of us were expecting. He almost used that to power himself in the next event.
Yeah, I mean, after what happened last year with the Viking press, I almost expected it. You know, it was very early on in the final. I think it was the second event in, and obviously he tried to say the referees were going against him, trying to, you know, give him Brian that extra rep. But they reviewed the footage, and it was completely fine. And I think at the time, you know, I just felt as though it was Thor getting his excuses in early, just in case he didn't win, like he did with me with the Viking press.
Would Thor have won, Eddie, if you'd come back to defend your title?
No. No, he would not. But, you know, people, yeah, I've seen the comments all over social media, you know, you only won because Eddie Hall wasn't there, and I can't ever agree. I reckon if I'd gone on and carried on getting stronger and bigger, yes, I reckon I could have come back and sort of settled the score and handed it for his arse for a second time. But I felt as though, and I think I've said this quite publicly, you know, I felt as though the sun was setting on my life. And I didn't have much time left at that sort of body weight. At the end of the day, I was heavier than Thor when I won the World's Strongest Man, and I'm 7 inches shorter.
Wow.
So I had to walk away. I think if I'd have gone on and won another title, yes, I may have done it, but there's a good chance that I'd have killed myself in the process.
I have to say, Eddie, you're still fairly sizable, having sat next to you on that plane coming back from Coron Island. That picture kind of went viral across America. Extraordinary.
But Ed actually managed to get himself so big he looked short at 6'3". He was so chunky. He looked like a gomus. It was ridiculous. Like a garden gnome until you got next to him and he was bigger than you.
Yeah. No, I tell you what, it's amazing how many people meet me in person, look me up and down, and like, wow, you really are big. And, you know, it was great. I can't believe I saw you. I thought you were like 5'8". And I'm like, yeah, geez. Just because I'm stuck with 7-foot giants and I'm spheric at the time.
But obviously, you've lost weight. You've lost weight now, but I assume your heed is still as big as it is. Have you even changed hat size?
It sure is.
Eddie, apart from Thor's win, was there anyone else who stood out for you, Kiliskovsky, or maybe one of the other athletes who didn't make the top 10 but really impressed you all the same?
Yeah, I think Matthias Kiliskovsky was absolutely phenomenal. He is a future WSM winner for sure. You know, he hit the top three on every event, I believe, apart from the deadlift, which I think was such a letdown. But
he's so young. And when I think about it, you know, he's only 24, 25. When I was that age, I was pretty much the same in deadlift-wise, you know, perhaps a little bit better. So he's got the time to still bring his deadlift up. Who knows? He could be the next man to pull 500 kilo. He's one of those characters that goes away, keeps quiet, and comes back monstrous like he did this year.
Mm. Ed, there's a big question hanging over the head of the career of Brian Shaw. Is he past his best for you? Does he have another title in him?
I think Brian Shaw has seen his peak, if I'm being deadly honest. He has seen his peak. I think he's 37 years old now. Most WSM winners are, you know, early 30s, mid-30s, anything before and after that, it's not really heard of. So, you know, and I've spoke with Brian in person for quite close quarters, and he's openly said, you know, he's probably got a 2 or 3 years more in the sport, and he's going to have to call it a day, because it doesn't matter how much you try, what you do, age catches you up in the end.
What's quite interesting, it's the same age gap between Thor and Brian as it was and still is between Brian and Big Z. But Z kind of managed to have a second chapter in his career. Do you think perhaps Thor now winning a title might spur Brian on?
Yes. Oh, no, 100%. I think Brian will go away and train harder and come back bigger and stronger and more athletic. But, you know, Big Z did exactly the same. But I think it's a mixture of things, really. I think, you know, having that age against you obviously doesn't help. But if you've got that willpower, like Big Z did, to go away and keep your head down and come back bigger and stronger, then fair play. If you can do that, that is the utmost respect. And that's why Big Z is seen as the legend, the greatest of all time, because he's come back time and time again and proved people wrong.
Yeah, still doing it as well. Yeah. Eddie, World's Strongest Man, one of the toughest things in the world. What was presenting it like?
It was fun. You know, presenting was fun. I really enjoyed travelling with the TV crew and going and seeing these lovely locations and doing all these little stunts and interviewing the athletes. And I tell you what, it was fantastic. I had the time of my life.
You were really good at it. I mean, distressingly good at it. Was there anything you found difficult about it?
James Richardson, I've heard, is a terrible dude. Just what I've heard. What was
no,
he like?
Seriously,
what was he like in the flesh?
I think the only thing I found difficult was the long days. You know, we're sort of up at 5 a.m. and we weren't getting back to the hotel till sort of 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I think one of those days we travelled to an island and went up a volcano and then down into an old volcano. And I think it was something like 200 steps up and 200 steps down, both ways.
Well, you had to do 400 steps in a day, Ed. Oh. This is outrageous. This is totally ridiculous. That was never in the contract.
Yeah, you also had to tow me in a boat at the end of it. So
it was,
budget being what it was.
It was just exhausting. And I think that was the main thing, really. I was more knackered doing the commentating than I was competing. That's the honest truth.
Ed, were you still getting your calories in when you're doing all this, by the way?
Doing the presenting?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. When we went to that island, we had to bring, like, boxes and boxes. One was lard, I think. I can't remember what was in the other. Live chickens.
I carried on with the diet pretty well. I think at that time, you know, I'd lost perhaps 15 to 20 kilos. And, you know, I was dieting, but I was still eating very well, that's for sure. When the World's Strongest Man was going on, I was 175 kilos. I think it was still something like the third, fourth heaviest man there.
Is it tough then, being so close to your prime, being so close to the time that you were the strongest man on planet Earth, but now you're talking about guys that I imagine in the back of your mind you're thinking, I can probably beat some of these.
Can I just say, in Ed's defence, and it's always been said, once a president, always a president, you are still a World's Strongest Man.
Like an Olympian. So you're World's Strongest Man forever.
Like us Olympians, indeed.
That's not like you to bring it up, Colin.
No, Colin Bryce at OLY.
Yeah.
Anyway, I answered it for you, Ed. You're always the World's Strongest Man.
Oh, thank you.
Eddie, what does 2019 hold for you?
The first 6 months of 2019, I'm away. I'm off on my travels. I'm doing TV shows. I'm filming movies. I think I set off on the 3rd of January and I don't get back until the 3rd of June.
Damn.
Chaos, yeah. It's all right. Every day's boot.
Where are you flying to, just so I know not to book a seat next to you?
also, where you're flying to.
Yeah, I know it. You mentioned in our preview podcast about the horror film you're doing. Can you give us any more details on that? It sounds exciting. There's a dramatic final scene with Lennox Lewis. What is your character?
So I'm basically playing a sort of, not a Michael Myers, but very similar to that, but I've got lines and, you know, I'll be going through and just killing people, basically. And I think the final scene in my segment in the film, so I've got a leading role, is that, you know, I have a sort of face-off of 12 riot police, and then I sort of meet the, you know, the final baddie, which is Lennox Lewis, and I basically smash his face to a pulp.
Right, okay. Spoiler alert there. That sounds amazing. And of course, the year begins with the Brits. You're going to be there again in January?
Yes, I'll be there. Sadly, just commentating this year,
though. Oh, that is a shame. But yeah, it's a strong lineup anyway, isn't it, Colin?
Yeah, of course. Ed's been the king for 5 years now. He's managed to hold off challengers from all of Britain's finest. And, you know, Terry and Lawrence are going to be there. They've both won Britain's Strongest Man competitions. In fact, Ed, why don't you give us your opinion on the guys coming into this one? How do you see it unfolding? You've got Hixie, Bish, Felix, who's won Britain's before but then lost on countback, all on Jan 19th at the Fly DSA Arena, to do my promote a bit. But what do you think, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, the contest this year, it looks fierce. I think Lawrence Shalai has got some love back for the sport. He's gone away and worked hard, and he looks very good at the minute. I'm looking at his training videos. He looks very strong. We have Graham Hicks, who is always strong, you know, always comes in, and I think he's come to top three the last 5 years, if I'm right in saying that. And, Mark Felix, the old boy, I don't think he's reached his prime yet. I think we have to wait till he's like 72 before he wins. maybe he'll get lucky and get a sponsorship from Werther's Original.
Do you know two people we haven't mentioned? The Stoltman brothers.
Yeah. And Adam Bishop as well.
Absolutely.
Bish is properly stamped. Bish was, you know, third in Manchester this year in the World Tour Finals, so he's magnificent.
And he's the rate of progress that he's been showing
absolutely
year on year is extraordinary. But yeah, the Stoltmans, just from a point of view of their kind of genetic heritage, look like real challenges.
I mean, Ed, who do you think is going to win? I mean, let me just remind you of the events just so you can... the Slater log, which I think the world record is your world record on that one, 150 kilos. Hixie's shouting he's going to do 9 or 10. You got loading, stones, framework, of course. Loz is arguably the best in the world, but then again, Terry's pretty good too. Barbell deadlift. What do you think? On those events, how do you see it unfolding? Who's going to win?
I think I had a little sit down and analysed it one day. Obviously, you've got the Stoltman brothers as well. I forgot to mention those guys. Honestly, I sat down and sort of evaluated every event, and, you know, I might get shot for this, but I honestly think that Adam Bishop has got a very, very good chance of winning this year.
I guess it comes down to his log ability, doesn't it? But then again, Terry's log's gone down a bit. It'd be interesting, won't it, because the loading's so close. Okay, Bish.
It's wide open.
Yeah, we'll have to see on January the 19th at the Fly DSA Arena.
Fly DSA Arena in Sheffield. So you can either go straight to the arena website, flydsa.co.uk, or just giants-live.com, guys, if you want to get information about what's happening. And the Beast is still going to be there, aren't you, baby? The Beast. Looking slim and handsome.
All right. Eddie, listen, thank you so much for joining us. And, well, congratulations on everything you've achieved post your title. And all the best for what sounds like an unbelievably interesting start to the year.
Here, here. Good luck, Ed.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Take care, dude.
Thanks, Eddie.
Bye.
Eddie Hall there. It's going to be fascinating to see what he turns his thoughts to next because, you know, as we mentioned before, he's so good at it. So good at whatever he turns his hand to. I wonder how Hapthor feels about Eddie going into movies, though, because that was going to be Thor's big thing.
Well, that's an interesting question. Hapthor's obviously had some offers already. He's done Kickboxer 2, you know.
Has he?
Yes, he did, yeah.
All right. And, so, of course, he's in the biggest TV show of all time.
Of all time. But, he said to me a couple of years ago
when
I was...
World's Strongest Man, that's the second biggest.
When I was in Iceland, he said, you know, there's a lot of pressure on me to go to do Hollywood stuff now. What do you think? What's your opinion? And I said, well, put it this way. And that year he'd been second for the third time or something. I said, you're definitely the second best strongman in the world, maybe the first. I said, you've got plenty of time afterwards to do acting. But I mean, Ed's forced retirement on himself. But Ed, as you said, he was a world class swimmer, world class strongman, the best. And if he wants to do acting,
excellent pundit,
he'll be a Shakespeare man if he wants. I'm sure.
A thespian.
Yeah, indeed. So, all right. What do you think? You've been an avid follower of World's Strongest Man for many years, right?
Yes.
Where would you rate this tournament in there?
I think from quality, in terms of strength of depth, I've never seen anything like it.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. From you look at that final, and okay, outside of possibly Thor and Shaw, it's a case of just guessing who might make it onto the podium. And with each group, as we looked at them, all five of them, they were stacked. I think just qualifying for the final was a genuine phenomenal accomplishment. But for me, I'll remember it for the fact that Thor, he's been the strongest, arguably, for a long time. Colin often described him as being the strongest man, never to win it. You think, is that going to be his moniker? It wasn't the case. He did it.
Put it this way. Right now, if you were to run 100 events and you had the top 100 strongmen in history, I think you'd struggle to get Thor outside the top 10 in any event. And probably he'd win a third of them. He's that good right now. So in terms of the quality, the world's strongest man is probably at the very peak of human achievement ever. Last year was quite something with Eddie and Shaw at their very best as well. But this year, I think Thor surpassed whatever he was last year.
What do you think Colin winning is going to do to him in terms of his chances next year?
I think it's going to make him unbelievably strong next year.
Really?
Because he can put it to bed now and just come out and relax and enjoy himself. He's already got the title. He just has to get re-elected as the president as it were. He's already done it once. Mm. You know, he's not going to have those nights of crying. He'll have nights of sleep and rest and get massive. The big worry for him is really, does he take the eye off the ball, or at least is the people who help advise him? Uh-huh. Because Kieliszkowski is so hungry. Lissus is so incredibly hungry. These kind of guys.
He's the big challenger, Kieliszkowski, you think?
And Lissus for sure. And Brian Shaw. Sorry, I would say Brian Shaw is still number one threat.
Right.
Absolutely. Brian Shaw returns at full strength, then Thor will have a massive handful.
See, Eddie's saying that Brian Shaw has already passed his best. He doesn't see him figuring as such a contender again. What do you guys think?
I would say, Eddie's 30. Eddie's 30, and he's been there, done it, he's seen it. But I've been around the block twice now, and I've seen guys like Shaw don't just go away. Shaw is a man possessed. That's why he wasn't happy with one. He needs that fifth, or he'll do anything to get it. He's that possessed. So, yeah, do not write Shaw off.
Okay. Right.
That for me is why this sport's so exciting, isn't we genuinely don't know. Will it be the man that's dominated this year's? Will it be the man that's dominated in previous years? Or will it be a new young contender? Because there are many of them and they're coming fast.
And will Adam Bishop make the final 10 this time?
I'll put it out there. Bish, I believe in you, mate, and I think you're going to be there for 2019.
All right. If you, inspired by these recollections of ours, want to go back and watch it all again, you can do on My5. Head to the Channel 5 website, www.channel5.com. We've got various events coming up in 2019. Quick plug for those again, Colin, before we sign off.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Giants Live. We're at a number of arenas in Britain again with Britain's Strongest Man, January 19th, Sheffield Fly DSA, and then, of course, The Monster, which is Europe's Strongest Man, and that is April 6th at the First Direct Arena, and then Wembley with the World Deadlift Champs, July 6th.
Hashtag 501kg.
Whatever that means, but I'm down with it, you know what I mean?
And just finally, James, it is worth pointing out the co-founder of Giants Live is a 2002 Winter Olympian.
Oh, for goodness sake. Is he really that cool? Who is he anyway?
Why have you kept this till now to mention it? Colin, it's been really, really fun to sit
One second.
With you.
What was your favourite moment? What was your favourite
yes.
moment?
You
didn't answer. The whole thing. Listener, they've put me on the spot. I think Thor's lift in the Max overhead. It's funny because there were so many moments, but that was the real drama. That was the moment when all attention focused on one man, one action, and it seemed that he was just teetering off the precipice again, but he pulled it back. He grabbed his destiny with both hands. He wrought it under control, and he seized that title. My word. That was the stand-up moment, surely. That and the bit where I push Eddie Hall into the lake on the island of Coron.
He said that was the point that the show took a dive.
No.
Yeah, you guys had chemistry, though. I'll give you that. Yeah. It was even a bit of a bromance, I thought, but there we are.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Now, that's it, then. I do hope you've enjoyed these two podcasts we've done on World's Strongest Man. I know I have. If you want to get in touch, remember, theworldstrongestman.com is the website. There's a Facebook page. There's Twitter, @WorldStrongest. There's @TheWorldStrongestMan on Instagram, and that's well worth following. Loads of pictures of all the events as they take place through the year, and then particularly the finals when they happen. Super. Radzi, it's been absolutely splendid being here with you today, and you, big
Thank
man,
you.
Colin Bryce.
Yeah, touch, brother. And can I just say, well done, Hapthor Bjornsson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Our warmest congratulations to the big Icelander. Big
well done, well done.
And you know what, Colin? To everyone who took part, because in a very real sense, the sport of strongman was the real winner. And on that note, we salute you, listener. Many thanks for being with us. We'll be back soon with more strength athletic related activities. But in the meantime, from all of us here, it's goodbye.
This is one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed. Look at these guys and what they're doing.